Item 13, new business. Item 13A, a resolution number 08-13-1284, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, designating State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation grant funds for the project entitled Water System Improvements as a number one local state funding priority for fiscal year 2014-2015 and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution 08-13-1284.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Your Honor, just for the general public, this is just placing, since most of the other items on the capital project list have been completed or in the process, this just moves it up to number one spot is all we're doing for this grant, correct? Is that right, Jeff?
Yep. And it's important because if you put it as the number one thing, we get more points. We move up the list of, they only fund so many, and so it's important to get those points as putting that as your community's number one project. And water is certainly an issue here this last couple of years with the canneries, and we're still making good water. We just can't make enough of it fast enough. So.
Just for public information, this would, if this is approved, it would provide for a bypass of the lower reservoir so that we can use water from the upper reservoir without running it through the lower reservoir, and it could be cleaned out, whatever, or, you know,
maintenance,
anything like that. And also possibly I believe the recommendation was to also a study on the water treatment plant would be a combination of this. Anybody else have any comments or anything? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Christian?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, authorization to reimburse AICS for relocation costs.
Move to approve reimbursement of $100,000 to Alaska Island Community Services for the purposes of offsetting expenses incurred as a result of relocating their facility to Alpine site.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Your Honor, I have several. Actually, I know that, of course, Jeff is just the interim borough manager, but our previous borough manager, if this was part of the agreement, I thought it wasn't in the budget. From the email that we have here is from 2011. If this was coming down the pike, why wasn't it budgeted in our current budget is the question I have. And maybe you can't answer that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can tell you, I wasn't aware of it
until
just recent.
And this recent. And then the other thing, just kind of put this in perspective, because I was on the assembly back in 2010 when the current facility that was built up there, the city and borough did give them approximately 2 acres free. So we already did that. Of course, they didn't have to purchase the other land that they were going to have to purchase. And a facility was built with, funds from stimulus money, I believe, $3.6 million or something like that. So I just want to understand why we're doing the $100,000, maybe. Since it was, I have never seen an agreement. I'm just on the assembly right now. It seems to me at the very beginning of this process, it should have been in the forefront if we were going to have to reimburse some costs. And maybe Mark can speak to that. I don't know, because we just have one email here from Tim dated, June of 2011, and that's it. So that's my concern. It should have been on the radar screen.
McCloskey was on the assembly at that time, and I was also, and this was given to us as a notification after the fact. so to speak, very after the fact.
Yeah, way after.
The agreement had already been made, and I have a issue with that. An agreement like this, especially this amount of money, is way beyond the borough manager's expenditure limit. And to not bring this to the assembly, you know, I'm not sure, I can't speak for the members there, I probably would have agreed to it. But the other members that was on the assembly at that time, you know, should have had it at least, have been brought to them and had a chance to say their piece before this was done. I think it was a very poor method of doing business. You know, it's kind of bypassing the purpose of the assembly. Mm-hmm. Went way beyond the scope that the borough manager had. Any other discussion?
I don't have a clarification. It didn't specify where the money's coming from. Is it coming from out of reserves or?
There's two choices you have. It can come from the general fund reserve, or it can come from the economic recovery funds. And those funds, it seems like those are all the, that's where we are going to get it. Unfortunately, we're just about out of those. We started with $37 million, and there's about a few hundred thousand left.
So this started
We have a couple people here that would like to speak to this. Mark, you can state your name and that record, please.
Mark Walker, 512 Church Street. All I can say is that we came together with Mr. Ray, Tim Rooney, and myself, and we wanted to locate on the same campus, but for us to change our location was going to incur more money that was in our budget. And so what we worked with the Denali Commission, who provided us a $150,000 grant, and at that time the city committed $100,000, and with that money we agreed to relocate to the Alpine site. It ended up costing us more than that amount of money to relocate, but at that particular time that was what we were saying we needed, and so that was the agreement that was made.
Go ahead, come
forward. Thank you. Warren Edgley, 209 First Avenue again. I was on the assembly too then, Dave, and or Mr. Mayor.
That's okay. We're pretty informal.
I remember talking about this, not about the additional moving costs, but we gave about an acre and a half to AICS, title and deed, at no cost. It was just a gift or a grant. I would assume that if they were going to locate the AICS clinic adjacent to the car wash, there'd have been some cost involved, some land cost. Was it going to be just given to them? This sounds to me like they're coming after something they don't deserve. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Rhonda Christian, 9.2 Mile. It's been a while since I've been up here. You guys know I've been kind of quiet. And I do got a quick question. Anything over $100,000, doesn't that have to go to the vote of the assembly? It has been a couple years since I've been up on your ordinances and everything. The vote of the people.
Generally, it's $1 million, and that's usually if there is an asset that the city has that's going to be sold or land, but it's usually $1 million cap.
Perfect. I think I appreciate your direction on that. I have a couple concerns on this. When I first saw this, and boy, I haven't looked at anything in a long time, guys, but when I first saw this, I went back and I looked at the minutes because I remember this very clearly when this big discussion was up about giving the property and the hospital. Big supporter here. And I want to thank Mark. beautiful ACIS. I've used it quite a bit now with my recent health problems. It's a gorgeous facility. I do have a couple of concerns here. First of all, the mayor and our city manager and vice mayor have absolutely no authority to make any agreements with anybody on the outside. This goes to the assembly. You guys are the ones that make the decision on behalf of the people here in Wrangell. This is $100,000 coming from a fund that we hadn't anticipated this expense to come from, for it wasn't put in the budget. And for it to come up recently, I have concerns. There's no related information in here. I'd be looking for moving costs. There's no receipts, no nothing. I have a hard time seeing why it would cost this much to move to a short location away. It was going to cost you money to move across the street. I understand moving business because I used to have business myself. So I understand those expenses. But to come up with something with no expenses and no reimbursement receipts of any kind is more than concerning for the amount of $100,000. I just don't think that, I think the city, this assembly should reconsider the commitment, because I don't think there was a commitment. It could have been verbal, but it was never brought forth in the assembly. I went back and I looked at the minutes. I may have missed something, but I went back and I looked for the minutes for this specific discussion to take place, and I have not been able to find anything. So that's just a couple of my concerns that I have, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments?
I kind of agree totally. It says all three of us agree that this is both an economic development priority of our community, as well as a quality of life issue for our community. And as a result, I have committed the city and borough of Wrangell would make up the difference cost not to exceed $100,000. It was our hope that with this commitment, ACIS could co-locate on the property, which they did, and that hopefully the cost would not be $100,000. I'm in agreement with the comments that were made that should have come in front of the council. It is a large sum of money. I think that should have been brought in front of the assembly. I would have had total support for it if I was on the council. I don't know if I was. I don't think I was. But because I think that putting them, ACIS, up there on that campus, if we build our new facility up there, that would be a great, it is a great benefit to our community. And they made the commitment to move. So I kind of sit on both sides a little bit. But I have a problem with the fact that was never brought in front of the assembly. And the other part of it is Ernie brings up that it's not part of our budget process. So I guess that's my concern.
Any further discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members McCloskey?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Christian?
No.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I'd just like to make one other comment that I would think it would behoove AICS to bring in an itemized list so we can, before any reimbursement of the cost.
Your Honor, also we need to probably specify, or leave it up to the borough manager where the money's going to come from, either the revolving loan fund or the economic development fund or the reserves. We didn't specify which.
And either the general fund or the economic recovery fund is fine.
Yep.
This will work. We got one. I got overexcited, I guess. No, we got it.
Jeff, I have a guidance. Who wants to take it out?
And it can come out of the general fund or the economic recovery fund. Either one is fine.
How much is in the economic recovery fund?
I think there's probably that is not committed, $300,000 or $400,000.
We can make a motion to that effect, I guess. I move to have the borough manager take the $100,000 reimbursement for AICS from the economic revolving fund.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I would like to just reiterate what Dave said, that we need to have all of the forms and things coming in, all the receipts saying the reason for the change and the cost. I mean, you know, if it shows $100,000, I would say that's good. If it doesn't, I think we need to have some reasoning why it's that much.
One last, you know, I haven't had time to really, I haven't even been in Tim's office, so I can check in there to see if there is a file on it, to see if there is other information that he may have. I can contact him, but like I said, I haven't even opened the door hardly to go in there, so.
Well, I have to say, this is the first I've seen of it, of the letter. I mean, it came then, and they started in 2009, as it says, and we get it in 2011. Big time delay in there.
But he may have already been provided something, and I'll check on that, so. Yep. As far as the accounting and the costs and that kind of thing. So.
Any further discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stowe?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, discussion and possible action regarding the request made by Sarah and Charles Gatt for an alleyway.
Discussion? Mayor? We have a letter of July 1st, 2013. From
have a motion?
No motion, just a recommended action.
The general district has a discussion. That's better, right?
Assembly discussion.
Sorry,
that's why I looked at it and see discussion. We already have a letter from the previous city manager, and I would like to support his decision on this. And also, I would like to reiterate the fact that this is opening up new land and new roads and water and sewer. And it's also been known that there's land in this town that was sold in 1930s, and there's no roads or access to that. And I think we owe the commitment to some of those people out there that have that land and have been wanting access to that property for a long time, and we've kind of ignored that area up there totally. And I think we need to start going back and reviewing where our direction is going sometimes. So,
Your Honor, you know, reading what the previous borough manager said, he has no objection to developing and locating private property within the platted area. However, there are currently no plans or funding contained within the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget for the city and borough of Wrangell to develop either the alley or the road to that property.
Mayor, that statement alone is, has been in effect for many years. When we first developed Caden Corporation, we back when I was part of Caden Corporation, we did put the water, sewer, and for access to Caden Corporation's area up there, which they work, and they did it on their expense, not the city's.
I do have a question for Jeff. There's no money in the residential fund, is that correct, for development? None at all?
The residential fund was pretty much exhausted when we put in the access road from up at the teenage down to the hospital and AICS property. And the residential fund put in the road, water, and all that to the property line, the new property line for the hospital, mm-hmm. and that's what come out of the residential fund. From the hospital on, or that property on, then it came out of the hospital grant from the state we have, but that pretty much took everything out of the residential fund. And some will go back into there mm-hmm. When we sell those lots up there, but the main purpose of that was to get the alternate access to that facility, so.
Right, and then just a question on the map here, like, who did the city build, like, Third Avenue that kind of goes in this general area, and I don't see a name on the yeah, avenue that...
Third Avenue, right.
Yeah, it goes right in that general area, and then I don't know what the avenue is that goes perpendicular and kind of heads up to the lots in question. Were those built by the city,
no,
or...
I'm not sure. I don't really remember.
Are they just private?
There is water and sewer... So I don't know the city. There was some involvement, I'm sure, because we would have
had to do the
I'm
water
not sure, sewer. But I'm pretty sure we normally would put in the water and sewer. And I can tell you, like in the industrial subdivision, when we put water and sewer in there, especially if it's a muskegee area, mm-hmm. you know, when we put in the road, we basically go down to the bedrock and then build the road up, put the water and sewer in, and it's if we do it, we have to do it to certain standards.
Right, to spend.
And it's spendy. It's really spending.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, when they developed the industrial park area over there, the cost of those lots encompassed the cost of the roads being put into them.
Some of it, on most of that, or a big chunk of that, we actually had I can't remember if it was a federal or state grant to pay a portion of it.
Right.
But even with that
was
it was expensive to put that in there. And so when we sold all the lots, you know, you don't really, by the time all said and done, you're lucky to break even, and that's usually good enough for us because we're not trying to make any money on it. We just want to, you know, basically get our costs back. So.
Is there anybody here that can explain these green lines and red lines?
I think they're water and sewer.
Is that the water and sewer, how far they go? They stop at these points, okay. So they do not go to the undeveloped property.
Oh, yellow and green. Yes.
Well, they got pink, like a pink ones, green ones, and there's an orange.
His doesn't have color.
Purple dot. Sorry. Oh,
you're special.
Oh, I got the black and white.
Excuse me. Yeah, they have color on these ones.
But yeah, they are color coded for water and
sewer lines. Okay.
Why?
There's no light. Where is electricity?
Yeah, it doesn't show.
There's no electricity. No electricals on there.
No.
Okay. So maybe these little orange things.
Well, there has to be electricity up to here somewhere.
Yeah.
Up here, there's none.
To give you another example, is when Stowe's built Stowe's Trailer Court, that street all the way up through Lanny's and stuff was all paid for by the Stowe family. So, you know, you can develop your own area. And basically what the city is saying is they don't have the funds to do it. And I don't know of any road that they've ever stopped that you develop as long as you try to meet their standards.
Yeah, if you buy raw land, you can develop your own road because we have, mm-hmm. I mean, it's your responsibility to build your own red road, get the electricity and get the pump, the sewer and water all into it yourself.
Yeah.
It's not the city's.
Mm-hmm. One last thing is, I do know that Evergreen is slated for, I think, 2015, and our share of that is going to be substantial. We basically got to come up with about 9%, a little more. And so they've estimated that our share may be as much as, you know, $500,000 or $600,000. And so that's going to be something we're going to have to start thinking about where we're going to get that. And then like James said, there is, I've had people in here over the last, ever since I've worked here, that have come in and ask about, there's a bunch of lots up above where Frankie Warfel Jr. lives, and those down there, there's a bunch up there that they've asked for, you know, when are you going to develop that? When are you going to put a road and water and sewer in? And kind of the same question is, there just seems to be always some other priority to for the money, and there's only so much of it. And so we've looked at a couple possibilities to do that up there. And like James said, some of those people have owned those for a long, long time, and basically are just sitting on paying taxes on, they don't pay much because they don't have access, but they still pay taxes and have been doing that for a lot of years. So
well, I think that pretty much covers it. There's just no money to do it. I, for one, you know, there's an alleyway, designated alleyway there, and if, I, for one, if you want to clear and rock it where you can get into your lot on your own, at your own expense, you know, working with Public Works so it's done within the boundaries and that, I wouldn't have a problem with that personally. But it's not my say totally. The rest of the assembly would have to agree to that too.
She wants to speak.
So if we can get it to where we know exactly where the
can
road
to the,
is.
Can, we,
you need to can you come up to the
podium?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, please. State your name and address for the record, please.
Sarah, 92237. Sarah Gatch, sorry. If we can get it to where we know exactly where the road is, and if you guys could maybe donate some rock. No? So we can have somebody, we can hire somebody to get in there and do it. So just so we know where to put it, for one, because we would have no idea where the road is. And maybe if we can get some rock and have, and hire somebody to do it. Because I think the rock is probably going to be the most expensive part.
Well, if the assembly approved that, you know, yes, someone would show you where. You know, I mean, if someone from Public Works, something would have to work with you to make sure it's in the right area.
It's been the policy in the past that Public Works will come over and help you establish that. They've done it for us different times, and so you stay within the parameters of that access. And I'm sure that Public Works would work, Jeff would work with you to do that.
Okay, because it doesn't have to be a huge road. I mean, just something enough for a dump truck to just to get there, you know,
well,
even
to
the...
You could do it at your own expense. You could just put a Pioneer Road in there where you'd have access to your property. It wouldn't have to be a subgrade road, you know, meeting standards. No.
So is there some time down the line that we can get some sewer and electricity in there? Or is that a no?
That's going to be kind of a hard thing. Question we're talking about has been kicking around about the properties that are up there and a couple other places that have been there for 50, 70, 90 years that don't have access. And as Jeff says, the problem is there's no money right now. There's no money for those projects, and those people feel they have a priority over something new. And that's what the discussion was being about.
I apologize. Our son had a seizure, so
but
I was on the phone. I didn't.
But I'm sure the city doesn't have any objection to you developing it, and as I've done in the past, put the water and sewer in and work it that way. It's a big expense to a person to do that.
It's a very large expense.
Yeah, it's a very large expense.
Just bringing in
know,
the power
hard
lines.
It's going to be hard for you to do it.
Bringing in the power lines to get to you is a very large expense because you have to pay for the poles and everything.
And water and sewer is the same. You got access, it looks like from the chart we have right here, that you're really close to access to the corner, at least the corner lot there. You know, it's not very far.
Yeah, I would imagine the power lines have got to be pretty close there for you.
Yeah. So it's a matter of you going and talking and discussing and find out some pricing and, you know, that's the expenses you guys would have to bear. Just like the discussion says, we don't, the city doesn't have any money for that. And then priority becomes a problem, too.
And the thing is, if they start doing for one and all these other people above, they will think that needs to be done for them, too. And there are a lot of people who have bought on raw land and have done the work already themselves.
Okay, so how come money's not being set aside for these people that have been waiting for years?
What Jeff was just saying, it's money that has to go to other places that's more funding.
And sometimes there are just other things that come up that it's a higher priority in the community. And so the money is spent there in these, wherever that may be, and there's a zillion of them. And so we would like to have enough money to do all these things, but unfortunately, we don't. And so as time goes on, they're still on the back burner, but something more critical comes up. A big chunk of money is going to go to the Evergreen Project, and that services a lot of people, all the people that use that street and access to the airport and petroglyphs and on and on and on. So those kind of things are ones that seem to get the money because that's where the most people, or the roads that most people use, and then the money's gone, and then we have to try to save some more up. And I know our road fund, sales tax fund, sales tax creates about $95,000 a year towards road projects. And so if you spend $600,000, you can see how long that takes to build that money up. The Front Street project, took some of that money that we had built up for streets. And again, that's because those are higher priority because the whole community uses them. So unfortunately, that's what happens. And so the ones that benefit a handful of people are on the back burner. And at some point, we hope to get money to develop all those lots and roads. But you're in the millions and millions and millions of dollars to do them all. So that's kind of where we're at.
I would suggest before you do anything, you come in and talk to the borough manager and get with whoever from the power, from the light plant, and find out how much this is all going to cost you before you start. Because we don't want you putting a bunch of money in there and not getting any use out of it.
Okay.
Any further discussion on this item? Move on to 13D, discussion and possible action regarding support for IMLA conference. This is in response to a letter from Mayor Sullivan of Anchorage. They have the International Municipal Lawyers Association has selected Anchorage for their 2014 mid-year conference, May 18th and 20th. And they're asking for support, monetary support actually, for that, to assist them in working in all these lawyers there.
Your Honor, I think actually it's probably a good thing to do for like Anchorage or maybe Fairbanks or some of the community, Wasilla, Palmer. I think if we're going to sponsor anything, it would be better to keep it local, like Southeast Conference, where we support our region. I wouldn't support any sponsorship in Anchorage anyway.
I think if they actually had put in their bid to have this, they should have hopefully had enough money to fund it. I agree with Rooney. We need to support our own communities, things that we bring here for us.
My opinions are, these are attorney's probably got a whole lot more money than I have.
Yeah.
They can pay for it yourself.
Yep.
Any further discussion on that? The next item, 13E, discussion and possible action relating to the options for Thomas Bay Power Authority. There's been a lot of discussion on that item already, and there's a lot of correspondence. I don't know whether anyone has anything else they want to, any input or not.
This is a quick observation, John.
No.
Is that, I believe, of course, reading through this and reading General Manager Nichols' response and understanding where the, reading the power sales agreement a number of years ago, to me, you know, it states in there that you can deduct any costs out of the payment from the city of Burl or Wrangell to SEPA. So if there's any O&M costs that could come out of there, pretty straightforward, it seems to me. The other thing, obviously, Petersburg doesn't want to fund their share of the non-net billable. Everyone would understand, of course, most of the non-net billable is actually Wrangell and Petersburg have been paying for doing SEPA's work, O&M work. To me, while the small percentage of that's for the commission, and basically you could say, which Wrangell and Petersburg should fund, but if Petersburg hasn't funded theirs, which they haven't, then to me, they didn't fund their commissions to participate in Thomas Bay Power Authority. So I don't see why we should fund the commissioners if they're not funding their half of the commissioners' activities. But other than that, I think the Thomas Bay Power Authority is kind of separate from the commission in many respects. I mean, the non-net billable was just part of that, why the majority of it's O&M cost. So I would say, just if we run short, just as the power sales agreement does, just subtract it out of the monthly payment to SEPA. It's reimbursable cost. That's all I can see from all this.
Can you come up to the mic and state your name and address, please?
My name is Michael Nichols. I'm general manager of Thomas Bay. My address is 11A Panhandle Trailer Court. And I did write a memorandum to the board and to Jeff, responding to somewhat to Jeff, and I do agree with him on a lot of the items. But as Ernie said, there's a simple way out of it. Our revised O&M agreement with SEPA specifically provides for the operator, if they're a purchaser, to deduct O&M costs from their power payment. Thomas Bay is not a purchaser, but it also goes on to allow Thomas Bay to have a purchaser deduct that. Further on, after writing that, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I honestly don't see why anything is non-net billable. SEPA hires contractors all the time. Do they remove board costs and accounting costs from those people? We are simply a contractor to SEPA. We have a written operations and management contract. I don't think any part of even the commission should be non-net billable. I think the entire costs of Thomas Bay Power should be net billable. Now, SEPA has responded. I actually, for the month of July in fiscal year 2014, assigned our accounting costs to O&M. SEPA responded saying they were not O&M. And because one, they weren't paid in the past as O&M, and two, their board didn't approve them. Well, their board did. Under the FERC code that I assigned it to, it specifically allows and states clerical work. That's what the accounting is doing. So I can't see why SEPA is being adamant about that, with the exception that, oh, we won't pay it here, we'll come in and take over and then we'll do it all. I think that's one of the things they're trying to do. And I'd like to talk with you a little more, Jeff, because I've certainly got a lot of ideas that I kick around, and I'm not quite sure whether I'm on the right track or not. But to me, I tend to oversimplify things, but it's very simple. Just don't pay it. The costs that it costs to do business. Thank you.
When I read through that, that's basically what I thought that said. I might be going down the wrong road too, but the way I read that thing is the initial O&M and the rest of that is part of the normal operation. If it was outside the normal operation, then it could be questioned, but I don't see that.
It's questionable for commission expenses. I still, in myself, believe that's a legitimate business expense. But anything that's done to deal with accounting and deal with vendors and Rhonda to deal with paperwork on a daily basis with employees, vacations, pay, that's all O&M work. There's no questionable part of it.
Go ahead. Just a little history and maybe why it is the way it is.
Sure.
The four dam pool, when that was created, one of the biggest arguments, there's lots of arguments, as Warren probably would tell you, but in the initial phases, some of the things that had to be decided was the budget. And one of the biggest items over the first few years was you had Kodiak in there, you had the Valdez, Ketchikan, and Wrangell. And one of the biggest problems was keeping track of almost every one of them was putting in percentages of everybody in their office and charging it into the budget. Some of us were not putting that much in and trying to be realistic. And so finally, the final kind of the agreement that was settled upon was that none of those costs, which traditionally, like you say, may be eligible O&M costs, but that was the reason why, is because it was so hard to keep track of. Everybody had a different accounting system, everybody had a different way of allocating costs to different things, and rather than try to sort through that, they just said everybody does their own. You pay for your own. So in this case, Ketchikan doesn't claim any of their costs to Swan Lake.
Right.
They're not allowed to. So I think that was inherited, and you'd get right back to the other thing, is if we were doing it, you know, Ketchikan would start doing the same thing.
They should.
So that, I'm just saying historically, that's where this has come from, why those kind of costs were not allowed, because it was such a nightmare. Because, like I said, everybody was doing it a different way, and there was some of them were trying to really pad it and put it in the budget, and others were trying to be pretty realistic and frugal. And so, but because it was all lumped together and it came out as one wholesale rate, you know, it wasn't fair to others that were trying to be frugal, and one of them that was trying to
see that.
So that was the issue, and that's why they basically, and then later they went and said, well, same thing with labor. They kind of said, finally, here's a cap on how much labor you can have. We'll pay up to X number of dollars. And so
there
some,
was a one time.
Yeah, so some of those things, that's why they did them, because from one project to the other, there was such inconsistencies that it was easier to deal with just to say, you're going to pay for all your own office-type things. And that's historically, that's why we're...
Yeah, and I can see that with a conglomeration. I can certainly see that. But I honestly believe times have changed. I also believe, does it really matter if it comes out of non-net billable or if it comes out of net billable, because it's all coming out of Wrangell and Petersburg and Ketchikan. The only difference is if it goes through SEPA, it's coming out of ratepayer money. If it doesn't, it's coming out of general public money. Really, that's... If you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, that's what you really have. And I still feel that SEPA is just holding that as the carrot and to get their own way in other matters. And again, Thomas Bay's whole structure has changed from what it was then to what it is now. And it is now very simply an operations and management entity. It no longer seeks other power production. It just has changed. And SEPA's standing on the old ways. And I don't think they're valid anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call a 5-minute recess here.
Back on break.
8:14.